Right, this morning's reading is Psalm 103. You need it, right? Okay. And it's audience participation. Makes him laugh. And I start it off, you do the lighter ones. Right. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. And forgot not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works for righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who did his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants who did his will.
Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his division.
Praise the Lord, my soul. Amen.
Amen. Now, I don't know if it's just me. Have you ever been sort of playing with your children or your grandchildren with plasticine? Yeah? And maybe it's just me, but you're sitting around the table and you're playing with plasticine and you're building this really nice fort, you know? And then the kids start to put things on it, like a wee dolly sticking out the door and something else, and it looks a disaster, doesn't it? And I was thinking of that just now when we were singing Something Beautiful. God, our Father, our Creator, wants to make something beautiful out of each and every one of our lives. But we're like the grandkids that keep doing things our way. We don't see the finished product, and we are maybe not letting God work the way he wants to in our lives. Do you understand? That potter, he is the potter, and I am the clay. Mould me and make me. I'll let you have your way, do we? Sometimes we struggle, we get involved, and anyway. We're talking about grace, aren't we? And today we're talking about grace again. Next week we're talking the harvest, then we're going to have one more grace after that. Grace is a brilliant subject. Superb. Now, we all have relationships with one another and other people, don't we? And if you want a good, healthy relationship, what sort of things do you do?
Listen, talk to the people.
Talk to them. Very good. I didn't hear Carol.
Listen.
Listen Talk to them, listen to them. That's good. Be long-suffering towards them. But really, if you want a good relationship with people, you have to spend time with them. You have to listen to them. You have to talk to them. You have to look beyond what you're seeing right there and then and look at the whole person. Now, is that not true of our relationship with God? We need to spend time with him. We need to listen to him. We need to talk to him. We need to know more about him by reading his word. All of these things are true. But then, you see, we get in, like almost the grandchildren in the plaster scene again, but we get in and we start to put things in between us and God that disturb that communication. Are you with me? Sometimes it's our own will we want to do rather than what God wants to tell us to do. Sometimes we go down a wee road and we sin. And then we think, oh no, I can't really have a relationship with God anymore. So you take two steps back. Are you with me? But that's not true with God. The amazing news is that God always offers us his restoring grace. And I love the word restoring. What does it mean to you?
Making new.
Very good. Now, there's a, I can't remember what the program on television is called, where you take something old and battered in and they make it lovely. Repair shop. So, making something restored isn't just putting a plaster on it or a wee bit of sticky tape and making it, that will do. Our God is not in the business of that'll do. Do you know that? He wants to restore you, to make you the way God the Father created you, to restore you back to that pureness and be ready to go to our eternal glory. So that's about a relationship. Now, we all know David. We all know the sins he got involved in. How many times do you think David sinned? That's exactly right, Janet. We don't know. But David was human just like us. He fell. He sinned. He sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against her family. He sinned against God. He sinned. Just like us. And then he wrote this verse, didn't he? He's asking God in prayer, create in me a clean heart, O God. Wow. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your Spirit. Wow, what a beautiful prayer. And we can say that prayer as often as we want. There's no limit as to how often we can be forgiven. I get angry with myself. I think, oh no, I've blown it again. I'm not where I should be with God. I stumble, I fall, I grow cold. I've let myself down. I've let God down. But you know, that's not how God thinks of us, is it? God is saying to us, you can come back to me anytime. I will restore you. And he wants to give you his restoring grace. Why is God willing to take us back? What was that, Margaret? Because he loves us. That's no small thing. He's willing to take us back. He's willing to restore us because he loves us. We should ask him for that restoreness of our joy of salvation. Anyway, I've got five little points here that God wants to extend his restoring grace to you and to me. God offers to take us back after we sin because God's love is unconditional. Now, I know we spoke slightly on that a few weeks ago, but do you understand it? God's love is unconditional. God doesn't say, I love you if you're good. He doesn't say, I love you if you're perfect. He doesn't say, I love you if you're handsome. I love you if you're holy. No. Do you know what God says? I love you. No clauses, no ifs or buts. I love you. Do you know that you're loved? No, not just the same three people. Do you know that you're loved? We need to work in that. Believing that God loves us. God never stops loving us because we're recipients of his restoring grace. Paul said this, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived neither. Neither fornicators nor idolaters or adulterers or homosexuals or sodomites or thieves will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by God's Spirit. We've all been sinners. We are sinners. But we've been justified, sanctified by God's grace. Amen. God loved each one of us before we even became Christians. Do you know that? He loves these members of your family that have never come to give their life to God. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to tidy up our act. And God takes a sinner and makes them into saints. Do you know that you're a saint? Oh. God is in the life-changing business. He takes what's dirty and he makes it clean. He takes what's broken and he fixes it. Restoration grace. To make us perfect. To make us as new. To make us usable for his glory. I do thank God for the work he's done in my life. But you know what? It's great as he's not finished yet. He's going to continue. Like that potter making that beautiful vessel out of clay. Something beautiful and something useful. That's what he wants to do to each one of us. But you know, he knows exactly what you're like. That's why he picked you. He knows exactly why what you're like. That's why he invited you into his family. He knows exactly what you're like. And that's why he chose you. Do you realize that? You're special because God loves you. Listen to this verse. The faithful love of the Lord never ceases, never ends. His mercy never comes to an end or ceases. That's incredible, is it not? Never, never ceases, never ends. Our God doesn't reject us when we sin. Do you know that? He just continues to love us. God is faithful even when we are not. Why? Because his love is unconditional. Our second point, God offers his restoring grace to us because our salvation isn't based on performance. Do you understand that? I mean, I don't know how many of you had other religions before you became a Christian, but the religion I belonged to was full of performances. Do good deeds, gain indulgences, walk up the stairs on your knees, all kinds of stuff to get your way to heaven. That's a load of rubbish. We are saved not by our good deeds, but by God's grace. Our salvation is based on God's grace, not our goodness. Do we understand that? Wow. We can never be good enough to merit God's forgiveness. But God offers it freely to each one of us. By grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone can boast. We can't work our way to heaven. It's not a performance base. There's no other way to get to heaven apart from God's grace. Look what it says here. God saved us, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy through the washing and regeneration and the renewal of his Holy Spirit. Nothing to be done. God doesn't reject us because we sin. He restores us because he loves us. You know, I remember when my children were growing up, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5, that age group, and in January, it was really, really hot. It was probably about 36 degrees every day. But at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there was torrents of rain. Was it like that in Peru as well? No. Torrents of rain. The skies just opened and you'd have rivers flowing everywhere. Unbelievable, but it didn't last very long. And it was lovely warm rain as well. And when that happened, my kids loved going out into the garden and digging mud puddles and sitting in the mud puddles and just to join the mud. But do you think that I stopped loving my kids because they were dirty? Do you think I did? I just took them quite gently over to the shower on the edge of the garden. But, and that's the way it is with us. Your God, your Father, has chosen you because he loves you. Not, he doesn't push you aside because you're dirty and you've sinned. He wants to restore you. Wow, not at all. God says you've been washed and made holy and you have received God's approval in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and God's Spirit. You've got his approval. That is quite something else. Our salvation is not based on our performance. It's not based on how clean we've made ourselves. It's based on the fact that God has cleansed us because he's given us his restoring grace. Now, our next point. There we are. Great, John. Thank you. God offers his restoration grace because Jesus has already taken our punishment. Wow. As believers, as Christians, God has already dealt with our sins. God doesn't ignore them. He doesn't hide them. He doesn't hide them, sweep them under the carpet. But God has sent Jesus so that our sins are forgiven. You know, in America, they've got something called double jeopardy. Is that what it's called? Yeah. What that means is that you can't be tried for the same crime twice. You can't be punished for the same crime twice. You can't be convicted of the same crime twice. That's the way it is with God. Once you've said sorry for that particular sin, it's gone. You've been forgiven. And when you remind him about that, he says, no, I can't remember that. God doesn't judge that sin twice. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus stretched out his arms and he paid the price for your sins. He paid the price for my sins. For every single sin that I've committed, he has paid for. It says the wages of sin is death. And the wages were paid with Jesus' blood. That forgave us of all of our sins. The ones we've done and the ones we're still going to do. He's forgiven them all. What sins did Jesus die for? All of our sins. Jesus has taken the punishment for all of our sins. God doesn't reject us because Jesus has paid it. He's accepted it. We're forgiven. What a word. We're forgiven. Jesus on that cross said, it's finished. It's complete. I've paid for all of your sins. You don't have to pay for them anymore. That forgiveness is available for all of us. It's accomplished. It's over. That restoring grace. That free gift of grace. He cleanses me every time I pray. I fall. And when I fall, I pray, Lord, don't let me do it again, but I know I'm going to. And he still forgives me. He still picks me up and restores me. Over and over and over again. Isn't that an amazing God we have? Amazing God. His mercy and grace will never end. Number four, John. God offers his restoring grace to us because Jesus understands our human weakness. Jesus is sympathetic to us. He knows our frailties. He knows our faults. He knows what makes us tick. And he loves us. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But one who has been tested in every way the same as us, yet without sin. Jesus understands our weaknesses. He knows what it's like to be human. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of only begotten Son, Father full of grace and truth. God understands what we are going through. No matter what it is, he lived just like us, but he never sinned. He understands because he can say, I've been in your shoes before. He was a human for 33 years. He understands our weaknesses, our temptations, our trials. He won't reject us because of our weakness. He'll give you his restoring grace. And our last wee point, number five. God offers his restoring grace because God doesn't hold on to grudges. I don't know if I want to cover this bit. Do you hold on to grudges? I do. Have you ever been in an argument and somebody said, remember that time 2 years ago you did? Remember? Holding on to grudges. But God doesn't. He lets things go. It says in the passage that Iris read to us, as far as the east is from the west, So far has he removed our transgressions from us. He's forgiven us. He hasn't put them into his back pocket and bring them up later. He's forgiven us of all of our sins, and he's flung them as far away as the east is from the west. Wow. God's in the forgiving business. When God forgave our sins, he did it completely. We remember our sins. We get haunted by them. We hold them in our back pocket. But God doesn't. Says here, again in the psalm that Iris read to us, God forgives all of my sins. See that? All. And heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with his love and tender mercies. Thank you, Lord. He fills my life with good things. My youth is rewarded like eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to anger and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us or remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great, as high as the heavens. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. But sometimes we won't let go. And it spoils our life. It spoils what God wants to do with our lives. We keep remembering our past. We keep not forgiving ourselves. And when we do that, these sins that are in our back pocket, they fester. They grow and they affect our daily life. But that's not the case with God. He wants to cleanse you. Forgive you of all of these things. Do you remember this passage? Peter at one time came to Jesus and asked, Master, how many times do I forgive my brothers and sister who hurts me? Peter was wanting a good answer here. And Peter thought, I'll be okay, I'll be a bit just. Should I forgive them 7 times? Well, that's quite a lot. But Jesus replied, no. 7 times 70. Keep forgiving yourself. Keep forgiving each other. Forgive one another. Jesus forgives you over and over and over and over again because he loves you. Jesus' death on the cross paid that price. And when Jesus was on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How many times do we have to know that we're forgiven? He forgives us over and over and over again. Praise God. Amen. Look at this verse here. Listen, this is for me. This is for you. God. No, sorry, doesn't say. Come back, you rebellious people. And I will forgive you for being unfaithful. Did you hear that? God is saying to you, come back, you rebellious people. For I will forgive you for being unfaithful. That's God's restoration grace to make us clean to make us the original he wanted us to be. His love is unconditional. Our sins have been paid for. He certainly doesn't hold grudges because he loves us. Even when we still sin, God will continue to love you and forgive you. There's nothing too big for him to resolve. God in his mercy has given us restoring grace. Our Father, we have heard all of these things so many times before, but help us, O Lord God, to put them into practice in our lives, to have faith, knowing that you've forgiven us, knowing that you've invited us to be your children and your family. Please help us, Lord. Amen.